to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can. In the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that I say, or you hear somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning to all of you out there in radio land. We hope and pray that you've been having a good day. The scripture says this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Now you notice I didn't say I shall, I say we. So I'm including you this morning to rejoice with us and be glad in it. Because regardless how bad it is in your life, it's not as bad as it could have been. I don't care what's going on in your life. It's not as bad as it could have been. You know, God, he looks at everything that comes in to your life and out of your life. And God won't let no more come into your life than what you can handle. God knows he's not out to just sink you. He's just not out to just make you go under. No. God, he brings tests into our lives in order for us to see where we are at in God and to help us to see our need for God. All right. Because God is up to something great in your life. All right. This morning we have a great show for you this morning. This morning is our morning that we answer Bible questions. This is our Bible questions and answer morning. You can hear me rubbing my hands together this morning because, I love getting into the word and answering Bible questions. But before we answer Bible questions this morning, if you have some Bible questions, I would love to have your Bible questions so we can put them on in the Situation Room. So you can email me at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or you can call them in at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. All right, well, let me get my Bible here, and let me get the Bible questions, and let me go ahead and ask the first question. All right, here's the first question. Do people in heaven see what is happening on earth? Oh, that's a very good question. Do people in heaven see what is happening on earth? Well, some Bible scholars says yes. People, they know what is happening on earth, and they base that upon Hebrews chapter 12. So let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1 here. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, many Bible teachers, they see this great cloud of witnesses. They see them as the saints of God in heaven. So it's kind of like the saints of God. They are kind of like up there in the grandstand. And so heaven is kind of like the grandstand, and earth is kind of like the track field. And so some Bible scholars, writers say that they are looking on at us. And so they kind of like, he's using this verse here as motivation. That ought to motivate us to run a little bit harder. That ought to motivate us to run real hard for the Lord. That's why he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let's run this race with patience. And so he's using that as a motivation, that the people, because the people in heaven know, they are watching us, that makes you run harder. You know, it's kind of like when you out there practicing. A lot of times you may not work that hard in the practice, but when that game come, you gonna give it all you got. You know why you gonna give it all you got? Is because there's people watching you now. You got family members that you done invited to the game, friends you done invited to the game, church folks that you done invited there to the game. So that's what he's doing here. He's using that as, you know, motivation. But other Bible scholars say no, that they don't see what's happening on earth, because that would bring sadness to the saints in heaven. Can't you imagine your loved ones watching you? They in heaven, but they watching you sin on earth. That's not going to bring joy to them. That's going to bring sorrow to them. They see, you know, that you're making all kind of bad decisions and bad mistakes and sins, all kinds of sins. They just seeing you being a bad boy or a bad girl. Well, that ain't gonna make your loved ones happy in heaven. And so a lot of Bible scholars says no. Matter of fact, they use that same passage. They say that these witnesses here is the witnesses of chapter 11 that the author of the book of Hebrews was talking about. You know, in chapter 11, that's the faith chapter, where it talks about, you know, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. And it, you know, talks about all of those great saints of God. And so it's kind of like the roll call of faith, or the hall of fame of faith. That's the hall of fame of faith. Well, since you got those folks who have accomplished, you can be like them. If you use your faith, if you use your faith just like they use their faith, then you can pull off every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us, and you can run like they ran. their race. And so that's what a lot of Bible scholars says, that Hebrews chapter 12 is not that those people are in heaven looking down here at you. It's those people in Hebrews 11. That's the great crowd of witnesses. So you got one group of theologians that say, yes, folks in heaven, they know what's going on in your life on earth. And then you got the other theologians that says no. Now somebody say, okay, now pastor, what do you believe? I can already hear you out there in radio land say, what do you believe? Well, I think it may be somewhere, you know, halfway. I'm gonna take a balanced approach. See, I think God let the folks in heaven see those things on a limited basis, see some things on a limited basis. I don't think that God let them see our sins or our shortcomings. Take for instance, a lot of time people say, you know, oh, I wish that granddaddy could have saw his son graduate from college, because he's the only boy that ever graduated from college. Well, I think that God may just go ahead and open up the veil of heaven and show granddad, see what your son did. He done graduate. I think that God shows those victories and shows those joys and things like that. I think God shows some things on a limited basis. I don't think he shows your shortcomings and defeat, because then you'd be, people in heaven would be sad. But I do think that he shows those victories. Now somebody say, where are you getting that in the Bible? Well, over there in Luke chapter 15, the scripture says that the angels in heaven, they shout for joy when a sinner repent and turn unto the Lord. So I think that if the angels in heaven know about what's happening, I believe that the angel that was probably protecting that person and guiding that person probably told the loved one up there in heaven, this person here just done, you know, received Christ as their personal Savior. So heaven rejoiced when a sinner comes to repentance. So I think on a limited basis, yes, people in heaven do know what's some things that's going on earth. Do they know everything that's going on earth? No, I don't think God let them know everything, because that would take a lot of joy out of heaven. So hopefully that helped you on that question. Boy, that was a tough one. That was a good question, but that was kind of tough there. All right, so I gave you what the theologians say, then I gave you what I believe. All right, let's move on to the next question. If a man is divorced, can he be a pastor? All right, well, let's see what the Bible say about that. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, because that's where you have the qualifications of a pastor, or it would call it a bishop. The Bible call it a bishop, and a bishop is an overseer. It's an overseer. Verse 1 and 2, it said, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, the overseer, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. That's the first qualification. The husband of one wife. That's the second qualification. Let's stop right there. Because if you ask some churches, now some churches will interpret that phrase, the husband of one wife, to mean that an overseer can only be married one time. So if the man get divorced, he can no longer be a pastor. Or if he get divorced and remarried, He can no longer be a pastor because he would be the husband of two wives. So that's how some churches, take that. Some churches says if a man done been divorced, no, he's disqualified. He can do other things in the church. He may can teach Sunday school. He may can do things with the men's ministry. He may can sing in the choir, may can usher, but he cannot be over the church, so to speak. He can't be an overseer because he's no longer the husband of one wife. But other churches would interpret that phrase, the husband of one wife, to mean one wife at a time, as opposed to having multiple wives. See, the city of Ephesus, keep in mind, you have to interpret things within their context. And so, in terms of the cultural context of 1 Timothy, Paul was writing to this pastor, this young pastor named Timothy, and he was pastoring there a church in a wicked city called Ephesus. And Ephesus was one of the most wicked cities in Paul's day. And they believed in a lot of polygamy and stuff like that, you know, having a lot of wives. And so I believe that that's more or less what Paul is saying here. That's what some churches say. A lot of churches says that Paul was trying to let Timothy know that if a person is going to be a pastor there at the church, he can't have, you know, a bunch of wives. He can only be the husband of one wife. In the Greek, that reads one a one woman's man. He can only have one woman at a time. All right. Now somebody say, okay, well, Pastor, you said that some churches believe that no, he can't be a pastor, and others says yes. Again, now what do you believe? I believe that if a man is divorced and he has truly repented of his sin, then God is a God of grace and will give that man another chance at marriage and ministry. That's what I believe. I don't believe that divorce is the unpardonable sin. You know, if you done committed the sin of divorce, then that scratched you out from being, you know, a pastor. Because you got to keep in mind, you know, Paul was a murderer. And, you know, Paul, he consented to killing people. You know, he was accessory to the crime. The first time we read about Paul in the Bible over there in Acts chapter 7, when they were stoning Stephen to death, Paul was an assassin. He was holding the coats and stuff of those that were stoning Stephen to death. But God raised up Paul. He forgave Paul and made Paul a great Christian soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe that if a man is divorced and he's truly done repenting of his sin, then God will forgive him. God will forgive him, and God can use him whichever so way God see fit. And if God want to use him as a pastor, I believe that God can use him as a pastor. All right, let me move on. We can get another question in. Are there any prophets in the church today? Ooh, all these questions today good questions and tough questions. Well, let me give you a definition for the word prophets. You know, in the Old Testament, there was two words for prophet. The first word was the word roi, which means a seer. they saw the judgment of God and the glory of God. So this prophet could see some things. God would show this prophet either the judgment of God or show him some good things that was going to happen in the future. So he was a seer. Then there was a Nabi. That's the other word for prophet, Nabi, which means announcer. When the prophet would show up, he would make an announcement saying, "Thus said the Lord." The prophet was a God-sent person who announced God's message. Some theologians call that forth tale, when you announce the message. Or if the prophet predicted the future, that's foretell. That's to foretell the future. So you have foretell and you have foretell. Foretell, F-O-R-T-H-T-E-L-L, that's where you're basically making an announcement. That's being the prophet, like a Nabi. And then when you foretell, that was that seer, where he was predicting the future. So the question is, do we have any God-sent person who announced God's message, foretell, or predict the future, foretell? Well, some conservative churches, they say, no, we don't have any prophets today because based on Ephesians 4:11, the scripture says he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. And they say that the apostles and the prophets, those were foundational gifts. And because they was foundational gifts, then they laid the foundation. And now the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers, God brought them on to build on the foundation. Now, the apostles and the prophets had to do with writing of the Bible. And therefore, since the Bible is complete, there's no need for the prophets. That's what a lot of Bible scholars say. But most Pentecostal people would say that there are prophets today. And then they'll quote the same verse. And, you know, they talk about the fivefold ministry, you know, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And they say all fivefold ministry is, you know, in line for today. Again, somebody asked me, okay, now, Pastor, there again, you done said, some say yes and some say no. Now, what do you believe, Pastor? Well, I believe that there are some prophets in the church today, and most of them that call themselves prophets are really false prophets or false teachers. Did you hear what I said? I said that, you know, if there are some prophets, most of them are going to be false prophets. Keep in mind, take for instance, back in Jeremiah day, Jeremiah came up against a bunch of false prophets, but there was only just a handful like him and Ezekiel of being true prophets. Same thing in Elijah day. You had Elijah and Elisha, but you had thousands of false prophets. And so I think it's kind of like that today. I think that for the most part, you don't have the writing prophets. Let me put it like this. You don't have prophets that can add to the Bible, because if anybody add to that Bible, then you know right there that that's a false prophet, because the book of Revelation lets you know that we're not to add to the Bible, take from the Bible. But one of the reasons that I think that there may be, you know, some prophets is because God is never without a witness. Whenever God's people would get off track, God will raise up some godly men and godly women that was kind of out of the religious system. Like they weren't a part of that religious system, like Elijah and Elisha. They was not a part of the religious system, and sent them to go and speak to the nation to bring them back on track. Same thing with Jeremiah, he went. He was not a part of the religious system of Israel. He was kind of worked outside of the system. Well, I think that whenever, like today, if the church get corrupt, then God always have somebody outside the church organization to speak to that situation to get us back on track. You know, the scripture over in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it said that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men shall dream. And that word prophesy means to preach or to proclaim. And so I believe that God will send people to say, thus said the Lord. That's what I believe that God will send. So for the most part, they're going to be in the line of foretell, foretell, to say, thus said the Lord. The Bible said, that's why Billy Graham, I believe Billy Graham is something like an evangelist, kind of like, he got a kind of a prophet kind of gift, because God has used him somewhat. He's kind of outside of the church organization. You know, he don't so much sit on a board at a church, but he's kind of outside, and so he can speak to that situation to kind of get things back on track. All right. Hopefully that helped you. Thank you for your Bible questions. We hope and pray that we have said something that's going to help you and strengthen you on your Christian journey. But look like the clock on the wall is saying that's going to be all for this morning in the Situation Room. All right. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.